alcohol doesn't solve any problems, but then again, neither does milk.
You know who solved problems? Vanilla Ice. And he did it while you checked out his hook and his DJ revolved it. So I just wanted you to know that.
He's multi-talented.
Wait, he has a talent?
Yeah, man, he repairs homes.
He made the Ninja Turtles movie. I mean, without him...
Second movie.
Yeah.
Go, white boy, go, white boy, go. Oh, no, it's Go Ninja.
Dude, I owned that single on cassette growing up. Hell yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was...
I'm not gonna lie, I rewatched those movies very recently. They still stand up.
Do they really?
They're still good movies.
Way.
No, they really are. They're like, you go, oh, that's so, you know, 90s and stuff like that. But you really do. You got a good plot. You got good character development. You know, very few plot holes. So they're still.
And
good
Shredder
movies.
Is fucking Asian, so yeah. You got that going for him.
So.
General Scherzer, or whatever it is. Alright guys, well welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly podcast where we are going to sit and bullshit about comic books and maybe some other industry news, maybe collecting, maybe conventions.
Storm 1, perhaps. We'll talk about that.
Storm 1?
Yeah. It's an advertisement I'm seeing.
Oh, for the new Storm comic?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we won't talk about that.
What are we talking about? That's huge.
Yeah, that's
things like that.
Yeah,
we'll discuss today.
Okay,
or we'll pass over them. Yeah, you know.
Gloss over them just like that one.
So. Yeah, there was your nerdly nugget right
Storm
there.
Rolled in and out really quickly.
yeah, it was
a light sprinkle.
Oh, good God! Well, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
I'm Matt.
Kevin here.
And guys, shall we get some shit kicked right off the shelf?
Indeed.
All right. Who's off the shelf going to be brought to us by this week?
It's going to be brought to us by our buddy Joss Whedon, who we now have in the studio. Joss, the figurine, I should say, is now going to help us out.
Where did you get that?
I got it at Toys R Us.
So you guys... Wait,
was that sold by itself or did it come...
No, there was a DVD of... The DVD came out a couple years ago. It was that guy that supersized me, Spurlock or whatever... Yeah. Made of Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, and the culture, nerd culture. It was on sale for like $3, and it came with a Spurlock figurine and a Joss figurine. So I was like, bought it mainly for the figurine. I'll watch the DVD later, but...
Now, unfortunately, Joss can't speak to us because he seems to be trapped in an invisible force field, like a mime, and therefore he's going to be Mime Joss.
I can still talk to you. I'm just very small.
So, thank you, Joss, for bringing us off the shelf this week.
No, okay. Off the shelf, actually, should be Daw Apparel, probably.
Okay, I guess he can take it over. Yeah. Josh, you can have a different segment.
Yeah, so Daw Apparel, go check them out online. You can get all your cool Drunk on Comics t-shirts there, and if you put in the code DOC20, you'll get 20% off of your entire order. And I think he's still got some deal where if you're sharing your purchase online, like, you might get, like, an additional discount or free shipping or something like that. I don't know. He changes his deals all the time. But go there, buy one of our shirts, and look cool.
D-A-W.
Apparel.
Apparel.
You got it.
Yeah, because, honestly, when we first came on as a sponsor, like, what? Huh? I'm bad spelling. Help me.
D-A-W. APPARELL.
You already lost me. Google will correct my spelling.
Yeah.
As it always does.
Yeah.
Thank you, Google.
Or just look up Drunk on Comics t-shirts. I know that shit pops up, too.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
All right. Matt, since you haven't been here in so long, I'm going to make you...
Why are you going to make me go first?
Because you're the most unprepared this morning.
I'm the most unprepared.
What are you talking about? He's got comic books here.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't even know if he's the most unprepared because you just said it was this morning.
Ooh. It's nighttime, and I'm not at the right time.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
You should have some more milk.
I'm going to talk you through Deadpool versus Carnage number 4. This is the fourth and final issue of a miniseries written by Cullen Bunn, art by Salva Espin, and colorist Veronica Gandini. I believe we talked about this book a couple times before, that as far as, like, versus books and miniseries, it's a lot of fun. You've got Carnage, who is batshit crazy and just likes to murder people at random, and you have Deadpool, who's batshit crazy and can heal from almost any wound. So they're nice and evenly matched. Deadpool has been following the clues of the universe and following Chaos to track Carnage, and Carnage is getting real pissed off because he's like, you shouldn't be able to do this. I should be completely chaotic and no one should track me because what I do is at random. And so eventually, you know, Deadpool keeps hunting him down. In the last issue, Deadpool got bonded with five other symbiotes that the government had in a special program.
It's the most badass thing I've ever seen. So the only way Deadpool could get cooler is to have symbiotes.
He's like a Transformer, or he's like a Voltron symbiote. One of them is actually a dog that he's got to stay leashed to the symbiote with.
What the fuck?
It goes
back to the Venom series and how Venom right now looks more militarized. I mean, he's with Flash.
They sedated him, yeah.
What they've done is they took from that some different symbiotes and grafted them onto other humans as well. So there's like a team of like five symbiote military personnel.
So it's Clone War.
Nah, kind of. I mean, I'd call it the Symbiote War, I guess. But they're not even at war, though. These ones are more docile, and they are very attuned with their human counterparts. However, I haven't read Venom that much, but I believe the program got shut down, and they kept all the symbiotes except for Venom within there. But each one had its own special kind of ability,
super
and one of them was a guy that had the symbiote to him that had it then kind of leashed to a dog, and the dog then was like this ravenous carnage dog beast. So that's part of.
All right. So, anyways, backstory aside, and the weirdness of the symbiote, you really need to read all of them to fully appreciate it. What's really great about this book is the idea of Chaos, and is anything random, or are all of our decisions like made for us? And Carnage is really pissed off because he's like, no, I'm supposed to be Chaos, and finds out he's like questioning, well, is there some higher purpose that's sending me to do these things? Eventually Deadpool tricks Carnage into nearly killing his girlfriend Shriek.
Just so much mind fucking within this comic book.
And so eventually Carnage goes, you know what, screw this, I'm not doing anything. The universe can't make me do anything. Universe, did you think I was going to do nothing? No, I'm just going to sit here. So he actually, Carnage at the end, turns himself in and is just sitting there in a cell.
Yeah, partly I'm looking at this like, I don't know why these guards are anywhere near him. Because he's in just a cell with bars. Carnage could easily, actually they said
that it's unlocked, the doors he can unlock out.
But he's just sitting there, kind of like, no one can tell me to do anything. I am not, you know, someone's instrument. Once I get my, you know, mind back, I'm going to go kill Deadpool. And that, to me, is just even more crazy than him going on a rampage. Him just all of a sudden thinking, I need to rethink about things, and I'm just going to sit here and do it.
So I appreciated the writing. I think it was a nice character piece to highlight those. Deadpool is being a hero he's like, oh, who's the next loony that I can, you know, take care of? And it's just neat to see him, like, actually be a hero rather than just, oh, I'm a mercenary and I do these things. Because, you know, Deadpool goes back and forth, but he's technically on the hero side. So it was a good book. It was a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. And I love the writing for Carnage. It's the most hillbilly redneck Cletus Cassidy has ever been in any of the books that I've read. And I think that was an important part of, you know, differentiating that character's psyche. No offense to those who speak with the drawl and stuff.
The hillbillies and the rednecks, is that what you're saying?
They can be really good people. But this Carnage then feels like a, you know, an actual character with a backstory rather than Carnage before, which is just like, oh, I'm a sociopath and I kill people. It was nice to actually kind of get into his roots. So, good book. I pick up the miniseries. I'm sure it'll be out in a collector's,
trade,
you know.
Trade form.
Yeah, trade form pretty soon. But
cool. Kevin?
Damn. I was hoping I was going to get called on.
You've also been gone for a while.
It's not like you don't know how this works. I mean, like, eventually you're going to have to get called on.
I guess. You want to just wait until the last possible minute, hoping that the review is going to be better. But it never is, so I don't want to... So, my selection for Off the Shelf this week would be Clockwork Angels, number 3 of 6. You guys, any of you guys been reading this at all?
No, but I looked at it, and yet again, the pages are just beautiful. And sure. I guess I wish I would have kind of picked up number one.
This is the Rush comic, isn't it?
Yeah, no, there's two reasons why I picked up this book. One, it's based on a story, also from the lyrics from Neil Peart, or better known as the drummer from the band Rush. Which, on a side note, top 3 concerts of all time for myself was seeing Rush. And the best drum solo ever. I'll ever hear live.
I'm mostly curious now about what your other 2 top concerts were. Not that it has anything to do with comic books at all.
Okay. They Might Be Giants.
All right.
That was actually my first concert I ever went to. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, by the way.
Wow.
And then Ramones.
I totally thought you were gonna say Weird Al.
Oh my God! No, Weird Al. No, that was a great cancer. Apparently I can only go back.
Go back to your comic books.
Yeah.
Longer than that. No, that was a great concert where we and my friends were the only people standing. That was a sit down show. Weird Al. Everyone. First of all, it's a concert. Everyone's sitting. It's weird. Well, anyway.
Rush.
So in an ad or one of the solicitations we get, I saw that this book was inspired by the band. So. Yeah, I figured I like classic era Rush, 70s, early 90s, so I'm like, I'll give this a try. Not knowing anything else other than it was written by some of the people in Rush. The second reason why I picked it up is because of the name, Clockwork Angels. Reminds me of the first pornographic movie that I ever owned called Car Wash Angels. So, of course, I see that title, and I think about that old movie that I acquired when I worked in a video rental store. So, of course, I had to pick it up.
Yeah, especially because Car Wash Angels number 3 really was the best out of all 6 of those.
All right, so...
I like this... Car Wash Angels Rim Jobs.
Oh, wow.
That was probably the 3rd movie.
Polishing the tailpipe.
As for Clockwork Angels, this is written by Kevin Anderson.
Nice headlights.
I'm done. No, we still have plenty of review left. Okay. So you can interject there. I'm sure Nick Robles on illustrations would appreciate that.
I bet he would.
My synopsis of Clockwork Angels thus far, for those who are not familiar, which would be everyone I'm staring at right now, you have a young man named Owen Hardy, and he lives in a remote, distant town. And after being stood up by a lady friend, he decided, fuck all this, and then he ran to a big city. And I'm sure they've talked about what the name of the city is at some point. Now, the big city is like the hub of an entire world, and is run by a mysterious person called the Watchmaker and his Clockwork Angels.
So he's like Charlie?
Maybe.
And his angels?
But everything runs really smooth in this town.
So he's Mussolini.
You know, honestly, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So because of the smooth running town, there's a price to be paid. And most people are just completely ignorant of what's going on, but there are a few people that are aware of this dictatorship and they want things to change. So in issue 3 here, we really start to dive into the changes that are really set to be made in this world. So here's what works for me here. The main character, I already forgot his name, but Owen. He's an ignorant kid and he's just trying to come into his own and find himself. Really, for me, a very relatable character. In this issue, he had a lot of aha moments, a few heartbreaking moments. It was just a really relatable character, and I enjoyed the way the main character was written here. Now, I like it when comics just flat out tell me, I can't pick up on subtleties very well. That's why that's why I didn't get married until my late 30s, because I can't pick up women. I mean, fuck, I need flashing neon signs over their head to let me know that they're hitting on me.
Well, it's good thing that your wife basically said, hey,
you should ask me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, hey, you should probably ask me to marry you.
And, hey. No, she didn't do that.
No?
No, she didn't do that.
That was a fortune cookie.
That he opened it, she took the fortune, wrote a note on it, and gave it back to him.
So you don't like subtleties, so this book slaps you in the face.
So when they were trying to show how the Clockwork Angels are trying to manipulate the citizens that everything is good, everything is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you knew that.
Lego movie.
Lego movie.
I know what it is. Okay.
It's so hard not to start singing that.
Them just coming right out and saying this is how we're oppressing you. It was great for me. There's no bounds about what's happening in this town and what they're doing to their citizens. I just like it being spelled out for me. Thank you. Art. Now, Derek, have you flipped through this book? You'll appreciate.
I flipped through issue one.
Yeah. Now there's definitely a few of these pages that reminds me of looking at art in a museum.
Well, it's
where I just want to stop and just observe the page. And that's what happened to me this morning when I was making notes for this book.
Well, it definitely has more of that painted style and look. I mean, it's clearly digitally colored, but it has that look of painting. So,
it's
angelic.
Very, very nice, Professor.
It's very precise.
So,
yeah, he didn't rush through that artwork at all.
No, interesting side note as you bring up Rush again. I did not know that there was a. This was inspired by lyrics, but I found out that it was the lyrics from a album of the same name.
Uh-huh.
Which I didn't. Like I said, I did not pick up any Rush, really, from the late 90s on. So this was an album that was released in 2012. It did pretty well critically. Actually won a couple minor awards, nothing major. But it makes me interested to check it out, because actually I did read the lyrics, and the lyrics to the songs are in order of a story. So there is definitely a relation between music and the book. And I might actually check out the album now.
Sounds a little like Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah. So one more thought after reading this. I kept thinking to myself that there are some elements in this book that are similar to V for Vendetta. So I'm thinking in the future that when the series is over, that's might be how I would explain this series to somebody. If I were just to give them the elevator pitch on this book, that if you like that, then you might like this. Mm-hmm. But I'm enjoying this. Actually, I picked up two, had it shelved. When three came out this week, I read them in succession, and it was a great half hour of reading.
Sorry, I keep laughing because...
Why?
Because in my
head... Still thinking about Car Wash Angels?
Yeah, well, and I'm imagining you reviewing porn. And yeah. I have been.
Well, Kevin, when you're done, did you clean off your dipstick?
To make sure those angels stay well lubricated. Yeah.
What else?
Well, no, because I was sitting there laughing because the character's last name is Hardy.
Cockwork Angels.
Oh, God. And I'm just like, you're sitting there like, he has a couple aha moments, and I was like, Yeah, so when I go back and listen to this later, I'm just gonna pretend the whole time that you're talking about
you know, him. I wish we would have put more subtle porn nuggets.
Well,
you don't like subtle.
Yeah, you like it when it slaps you in the face,
like a giant mushroom stand.
Oh, all right.
Who's next?
Tony, go for it.
All right, a book that I've never read before, which I feel ashamed to mention that, I picked up The Goon, One for the Road. And I have no clue really about The Goon, except for knowing that it's beloved by many who have read it. It's a crazy universe. It's
been around forever.
Yes.
Yeah. And Eric Powell's still doing everything on that book, isn't he?
Yes. Yep, he's... Yeah, that's his book.
Does the art and the colors.
Yeah.
And the writing.
Yeah, everything. Well, colors are Dave Stewart, but okay. He does the writing and the art, which is, cool. I mean, as indie as you can really get there when you do everything on a book.
Except for gluing the pages together yourself.
Those damn lazy ass
people. Mining the graphite for your pencils, and, you know, you cut the trees that you replant, though. Make your own pulp for the paper, because...
Okay, let's go back to the book. I didn't know what I was expecting, but when I read this, I thoroughly enjoyed it to where I do want to... It's more or less one of those things of I've always told myself, all right, I want to pick up The Goon at some point to see what all the fuss is about. And now they kind of had a one-shot that came out that gave me the chance to at least read something new and relevant. I really need to go back and read some of the other stuff. This whole story takes place with a sailor... who's on shore leave in town looking for his buddy that was with him that they got beat up in an alleyway, and he runs into The Goon and Frankie and is asking them if they could help, you know, help him find his other sailor buddy. Now, from what little I knew, I thought The Goon, besides being a kind of a tough guy, there was like zombie type people within this world and crazy creatures that pretty much he can just beat up with no end. Didn't really see that as much in this, but there were some creative characters throughout it. And the best part why I just felt that this book just related to me was when they're going, they're like, yeah, let's go check out if he's in a bar. Bars are the best place to, you know, get news. Let's go in there and order 3 beers for us. Nope, he's not in here. Okay, well, we know another bar on the way. Let's go in there. Frankie goes, 3 more beers. They keep going to all these bars, and this sailor's kind of like, I don't know if we need to keep drinking. Let's just keep going. They're like, no, if we go into a bar, you need to order a beer. And there's plenty of bars on the way that he could be. And that's pretty much the extent of the plot of this, was going to different bars, getting introduced to some characters, you know, seeing them get drunk, and ultimately having a giant bar brawl. Just crazy, zany stuff happening. The people that come in that they're kind of making fun of, like Bob Dope, Don Knotts, Julie Parton.
Scarlin Monroe.
Yeah, like the characters, Johnny Crash, like the characters that are within this world that are not normal, but, you know, make some kind of, you know, punny jokes or whatever with them.
Parody, satire type thing on the real people.
And then a giant fucking gorilla
man that
eats people. That came out of nowhere, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
Well, what's even better is he's got the Kaiser Wilhelm pointy helmets from World War One,
and then a beautiful 2-page spread of him chasing everyone, and then how he dies with some German.
The Germans are the ones that release the gorilla on them.
Oh, but then they get shot down, and then the plane crashes into the gorilla and just it blows up. And next panel, okay. Well,
oh, spoiler warning.
Oh, yeah. Oh no! Ultimately, the guys are like, so, "Well, yeah. we need to keep on drinking and trying to find your buddy." And then he gets a note just saying that his buddy hooked up with a girl and he's all right. And so the guys are like, "All right, well, see you later, buddy. Next time you're in town, we'll grab a beer." And I'm just like, "What I read was amazingly simple." But yeah, it was a ride. It was a story. It was involving a lot of who these people are, but I know it has nothing to do with the normal take on who the goon is, except for him getting in a fight in the bar, and
it kept you interested as to where it was going next, so.
Yeah, and something that I just mentioned now, the goon is going into production again of having new issues coming out starting next month, so a little cool news for you, too, and cool. I just thought it was definitely something to get into.
That's fairly impressive, considering that Eric Powell's working on Big Trouble in Little China right now, too. So, I mean, just the fact that, you know, he's writing and drawing that, and I think he's just writing or co-writing the Big Trouble comic, but that's, you know, just writing and drawing one comic just seems like such a task in and of itself. So, cool. I actually have a kind of a one-shot as well. I have The Adventures of Superman number 14.
What?
I know, which...
Who are you?
Do they give you, like, the wrong bag at checkout?
No, actually, this actually would have been my best on tap suggestion for this week, which is, you know, the bottom part of the Joker's face smiling down and showing his chest, and he's pulling open his purple coat to reveal the Superman logo. This one, the Joker goes to Metropolis because he wants to meet Superman.
Is that the reason why you picked this book up?
Yes.
Or did someone tell you you need to pick this up, or you just thumbed through it thinking, oh, what's this cover? And
no, I was going through solicitations, you know, on the app that I use on my phone, and I was like, well, that's a cool cover. And I'm like, and I looked, and it's like, wait, the Joker's going to Metropolis? I'm like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And this is probably the best DC book I've ever read in my life. Like, I've been excited to talk about this book all fucking week. Like, I've been waiting for this podcast.
He's not lying. He would not shut up about it all week long.
And I really wouldn't talk much about it. But anyway, the title of this issue is The Sound of One Hand Clapping. And it's... That sounds terrible. Mac Landis is the writer. Jock is the artist. Lee Loffridge is...
Watching Car Wash Angels.
Lee Loffridge is the colorist, and Wes Abbott did the letters. So, this one here, Joker comes to Metropolis.
Is this, like, after Death of the Family Joker, or is this just a standalone...
It's a standalone issue, but okay. It's clearly... Like, I don't understand how continuity works on this one.
Okay.
And I'll touch on that. Fine. But because, well, actually, fuck it. Let's just go right into this. We're gonna start with the artwork on here. The first thing on here is the coolest part is that this book has the little dots that remind you of the old, like, dot matrix, four color style printing, like the old school.
Oh, I would have never noticed that unless you pointed it out to me.
And you did look through that earlier, but it's throughout the whole book. But it's part of the shading and part of the coloring on there. That, to me, like it just works so damn well on there. Then, Matt, you haven't seen it yet, but you need to go to page four.
Two,
that's good.
One, two, three, and four.
Okay. So, page four is worth the price of this book times five, in my opinion.
Five million?
I mean,
Five thousand.
Yeah. So, page four, basically, you've got the Joker talking to Superman going, I don't really know who I am. I'm still new at this whole white face, green hair thing. And there are eight different versions of the Joker drawn on that page. The first one that you see is the original Golden Age Bill Finger style Joker. Mm-hmm. The next one is the Cesar Romero from the Adam West Batman TV series. You've got the Neil Adams Bronze Age Joker in there. You've got the Brian Boland Killing Joke version in there. You got Jack Nicholson from the 89 movie. You've got the animated series. You've got the Greg Capullo current New 52, where his
ripped off face.
With the ripped off face that he's wearing strapped on, and then you've got the Heath Ledger Joker in there. It's one of the coolest fucking pages I've ever seen in my life, and it you know does a beautiful job. Awesome. You know, just
yeah, I've never seen a page just so mesmerizing. Is like the best word. You could just stare at it forever and just look at the same, not sameness, but the, you know, the sameness and the differences amongst all these
similarities.
Different, yes, there that, you go. Yeah, that's a word. And just you're just looking at it like I can see that in that version and that version. Oh wait, that's a little bit different. And wow, that's just drunk. It's
I think it's telling though of the Joker's character of he because he is so crazy. Who is he?
And it works so damn well with the dialogue that's going on in that at that point. This story though, like this was a great story just in general. If anybody isn't familiar with Superman, I don't know how that could be, but it's possible. This is a great book to pick up because it really is a one and done kind of story as well, similar to like what you had in The Goon. And he's on top of the Daily Planet taunting Superman, saying, yeah, I place bombs all around and, you know, I just might have to blow them up if I, you know, it's like, and it's kind of fun because Superman's like, well, what are your demands? He's like, oh, I didn't really think that far through. I just wanted to meet you, you know? And, that's like, I mean, the stuff that Landis is doing in here is great. Because he's trying to be funny and Superman's not playing along. And it's really pissing him off. And he's
not out to try to destroy Superman like all Superman's bad guys, right? He's just out to just do chaos and destruction. And
yeah.
And it's something probably different than Superman's used to.
Yeah. And it's really cool because, like, you know, he has no idea who Superman is. He's just heard about him and stuff like that. But he's like, yeah, I'm going to blow everything up. And Superman does the, I wouldn't do that because I got all your bombs. And he's like, but how did you? And he's like, well, how could you do that? And he's like, I'm really fast. He goes, but I don't understand. Superman goes, I can do lots of stuff. and it comes back later because then he's like, he shoots him with his laser eyes. He's like, I didn't know you could do laser eyes. I guess, like I said, I can do lots of stuff. I'm Superman. Superman's kind of a cock in this, and I like it. But he's in that laid back on, whatever, you know. And he's not being overtly rude. He's just being that I'm better than you. I don't need.
It makes you wonder if Batman's ever talked to Superman about the Joker.
Which actually leads into one of the best things, because at the end, Joker gets arrested, and Superman comes plowing into the Batcave through the roof.
Man, you know how expensive it is to fix the cave every time Superman decides to show up?
Yeah.
He's like, I got a freaking door. You can see it. You got x-ray vision.
Well, and it's great, because he comes in and he tells Batman, you know why I'm here. And Batman goes, you put a hole in my roof. But this is an awesome, like, it's just a little one-page conversation with Batman and Superman saying, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why did you knew he came there, and you sat there and did nothing and watched. And Batman's like going, well, I knew you could handle it, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, basically saying it was a test, and Superman's saying, don't fucking test me.
Sounds like they're getting ready to fight. Like, it might be versus.
No, they don't fight. Superman just punches him in the chest and shoots him across the room, which is great. Just saying, don't fuck with me. And, this is a great story. The dialogue is perfect. Superman's attitude is perfect. The art is great.
I almost feel like there's a but coming up.
There's no but. There, like, this is probably one of the most perfect individual issues of any kind of comic I've read in a long time. And it's great for people that have a little bit of knowledge, and you don't even have to have a lot, but just a little bit of knowledge of who these characters are and their backstories, and little things that have gone on in comics in the past, because Superman actually starts laughing at the Joker in one point, and behind the Joker's sad face are all these little ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha's printed on the page. I mean, artistically, this book is just brilliant. And I mean, from the writing to the actual physical art on here.
Are you going to pick up Superman now?
I'm actually going to at least pick up the next one and see what happens. Because, I mean, the way that Landis writes this and the way that, it, I mean...
It's going to come up again someplace down the road.
Well, if Landis and Jock are the regulars on this title, yeah, I'm picking it up. Because I could just sit there and look at it, and, I mean, mm-hmm. I loved this book. And you guys know me. I'm not a DC guy. This...
It was interesting when you first brought up the fact that the Joker went to Metropolis. It reminded me in Kingdom Come, the big Alex Ross book,
mm-hmm.
Kingdom Come, that the Joker... one of the big things was that the Joker went to Metropolis, and he ended up killing Lois Lane in all of the chaos and stuff, and that's what kind of drove Superman into exile. So it's one of those, like, well, when other heroes or when other villains start, you know, swapping cities and stuff, I think you get some interesting things.
Well, I think it also creates a new dynamic for the hero, because you're not used to this bad guy's same shit, different day type mentality. I mean, imagine Lex going against Batman. I mean, which Lex now knowing his secret identity, you know, we'll see how that's gonna work out, them being on the same team. But
yeah, but the problem is like Lex Luthor and Batman are, in my opinion, pretty much the same person.
Yeah,
like just one of them knows karate.
Well, I'm saying though, or any of the super like big bad guys that have fought Superman, like Bizarro, whatever. I guess Batman would have some contingency plans with some of them, but just saying, some of these super powerful people, Batman doesn't really go up against some of those. He goes up against some brutes, he goes up against some geniuses, but not like all-powerful gods. But then again, too, he has fought Superman before and won, so I guess maybe Batman could hold his own against anyone.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
that's cool.
Joker,
I'd like to read it sometime.
Yeah. Joker, I think, is actually a really good counterpart for Superman.
Yeah.
Because it really brings
chaos, you know, and order, good and evil.
I mean, if you really want to think about it, what if the Joker's whole point was to test out, what can you actually do? I'm just testing you out. I just want to see what you're going to do about this. Oh, you got all those things. Interesting. I'll take a mental note of that.
Yeah.
Because before I always thought, yeah, the Joker is crazy, but when someone kind of explained what his superpower is that essentially he takes in all the stimulation and all the information, and at times it overwhelms him, and so he just kind of goes loony and funny and stuff, but at other times he can take all of that information and stream it into, like, a devious plot. That was what so the Joker is a pretty legitimate supervillain, not just a crazy dude in a clown suit. Not a juggalo.
Yeah. So. All right, enough of that one. I could actually talk about this book forever. Adventures of Superman number 14, guys. Go pick it up if you didn't already. All right, I think that does it for Off the Shelf.
All right, let's go on to some news. News brought to you by Mr. Whedon.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having me. I don't have any news for you guys today, but...
No Avengers news, but... Well, hey. there's some X-Men news that's not news. It's okay. Squashing a rumor, Brian Michael Bendis.
Why did you start that rumor, by the way? Not a fan.
Yeah, well, you know, there are some of those assholes that sit in their mom's basements, I think, with something along the lines of his quote, that will just do shit, just to do shit. But, yeah, according to Brian Michael Bendis, don't worry, X-Men books are not getting canceled.
Well, and we talked about this rumor for X-Men plus Fantastic Four. Does he say anything of Fantastic Four? Or does he talk just X-Men? Is that then confirming that Fantastic Four is going to be canceled?
Ooh, I don't know.
You conspiracy theorist.
His silence speaks
Tony
volumes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be worried about X-Men. You've got so many different titles, and most of them are some of the best books that Marvel has going right now.
Well, yeah, but once you kill Wolverine,
There's the team. There's the X-Men teams.
Yeah. The poll that you guys posted about what's your X-Men? Is it Uncanny, All New, or Wolverine?
Yeah, they're Uncanny, Astonishing, All New, and Wolverine. But I posted on there too, Tony. You forgot a couple of them. You forgot Extreme X-Men. I mean, I know you didn't create the graph, but there was Extreme and Amazing.
But Extreme's not around anymore, is it?
There was an Extreme X-Men.
Yeah, that's what the pretty, interdimensional.
It's kind of like an Exiles.
Wasn't it Clockwork? Or Train Captain?
Car Wash X-Men.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yep. All right, Tony. What else is out there on the news?
Well, Del Toro finally announced that they are. Well, people have already known he's been working on Pacific Rim 2, but they actually got the date down. April 7th, 2017, will be the time to cancel the apocalypse again. A lot of people have talked about it possibly being a prequel. They don't want to go that route, and they want to do something following the first movie in the Yeager program. So I'm very looking forward to this because I thought the movie was quite excellent.
I'm down for getting the D-Boxians.
Yeah. That was the best money we could use watching Kaijus. I just want to say Kaiju.
Kaiju Gugu?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Kaja Gugu. Well, don't shake your head at me, man.
I was saying that you guys actually shelled out money to sit in the douche boxes, which, for those of you who don't know, is essentially like a simulation seat in the movie theater. So, like, if you're in a car chasing stuff, then the seats will lean or rumble. But then again, I guess if you are, piloting giant mechs, that actually could be cool.
I wouldn't recommend it for Car Wash Angels, though. It's not the same. Kevin, you saw something about Constantine that you brought to our attention.
Yeah, well, they're in Constantine, the upcoming show that's going to be on NBC this fall, they are not going to be smoking on the show. Now, I don't know if that's that's just what the producers are saying. I don't know if it's network pressure, and I'm sure there's a lot of
politics. If you notice, a lot of shows don't show people smoking.
Yeah, you only see it in the movies anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, and
that's a shame because that's one of the things that about that character is he's a chain smoking Brit.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
If you take that away, he's just a Brit.
And whether or not he has cancer, they don't. Yeah. They aren't saying anything on that one either. Tony, explain Humble Bundle to me again.
All right, Humble Bundle is an amazing website that packages bundles humbly. They will take a theme, and right now they have pretty much a weekly bundle on video games, and now they've kind of done a weekly thing on books as well, whether it be audiobooks, whether it be, Tom Clancy books or whatever. There's usually a theme behind them, and right now Dynamite is having their 10th anniversary with a Humble Bundle collection where you can get quite a few books for cheap. You pay what you want. You can pay only a penny and get a bunch of them for free or for that penny. You can get The Mockingdead issues 1 through 5.
Well, they've got 120 books available.
Chaos number 1, Man of Hawkins, The Hollows 1 through 10, Cryptozoic Man 1 through 4, Project Superpowers volume 0 through 7, like, plus a lot more. I can't just name them all.
Do they have My Little Phony, A Brony Adventure?
Yes, and that one looks hilarious. So there's always, you can get those ones for paying whatever. You then, though, certain people will not just be cheap, and they will actually pay a little bit more, because with the Humble Bundle, you have 3 choices where you can give the money to. You can give it to the creators, you can give it to a charity, or you can give it towards the website Humble Bundle. And how you split that ratio is up to you. If you want to give to them so they can get more better projects, sweet. If you want to give to the creators, however you want to do it. But if you pay at least the average, you also get more bonus comics than you would, which are even greater lists, like Red Sonja and Pathfinder books. There's a lot of them in here. And then they also have incentives as well, where if you pay it a little bit more. Right now, if you pay $15 or more, you can unlock the Dynamite Art of Alex Ross, which is great, and Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, the complete collection, that's 36 issues. So if you pay $15, you are getting a ton of books here.
It's, well, and I mean, $15, I think, if nothing else, the Jenny Friesen covers of Red Sun, it should be worth it just for that.
And this is, I mean, and these are DRM free. You can, you know, look at them on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. It's a very great site that I get a lot of sweet deals from, and this is probably one of the best ones that I've seen in a while. So instead of talking about it, we're going to say go check out humblebundle.com.
Yeah, yeah, and you got to do it soon, too. You're running out of time.
Yes, yep. There's
July 5th, I believe.
Yep, 10 days left to pretty much take a part in this Humble Bundle.
All right, speaking of changing how we pay for things, DC is changing how they pay creators. And I don't quite understand exactly what's going on here. It's something that I wanted to bring up, but we might have to come back and talk more detail later once we know a little bit more. From what I understand, DC is paying the creators based on their net revenue rather than on the cover price of the book. So, rather than having a flat page rate, you know, for artists, inkers, colorists, writers, I think it's going to be, you know, either you'll be paid based on what is sold through distribution.
Does it say if that was DC's choice or if that was like a negotiation with DC's the creators? It's DC's
thing, because there's a lot of creators that aren't happy about that.
Okay, I was going to say, because...
There's going to be a lot of from the artists and whatnot that are affected by this. They're going to put a lot of pressure on the publishers to make sure that these books are being well advertised and like, oh, you're not doing shit to promote this book. Why the fuck am I going to write for you?
Yeah,
because I'm being paid on this type of structure.
Yeah,
there's so many things to it.
I guess we should look into it more though before we start really throwing away our opinions on it because it could be wrong.
Well, it's a curious thing. I just, like I said, I wanted to bring it up because I just saw some news on it.
Canadian wartime hero comics are being reprinted. So, Land of the North of Ice Hockey and Maple Syrup will be getting some new old issues of. IDW is going to be publishing these later this year, starting with the full collection of Johnny Canuck.
Which is not Captain Canuck.
No, he's a different Canuck. Thunder Fist and Adrian Dingle's The Penguin, which is probably not the same penguin, but someone of the same.
Hey, wait, why are there penguins in Canada?
Because they're from the North Pole. They hang out with the polar bears all the time.
No. Penguins are Antarctic.
Tony, what's your favorite game to cheat at, Munchkin?
It's not considered cheating when it's part of the rules.
Yeah, part of the rules is you can cheat. We've told you that many times when you have gotten your ass handed to you.
I only played once because you're a cheater and I'll never play that game with you ever again.
There's a card called cheat.
So, I have found a new way that I can enjoy the game without your cheating, manipulative, bullshit ass.
Okay.
Playing. Boom Studios is coming out with a Munchkin comic book.
I can't wait for you to get that, review it, and find out you still lost while reading.
No. You cheated. I won. I'm very bitter about this. And it's been, what, 3 years?
It has been. It was at one of our rematch. Conventions. And
rematch.
Playing. Yes.
Time for a rematch.
What else is out there, Tone?
Well, Chicago beat out San Francisco for a new George Lucas museum, so there's going to be that.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that museum is it's a ton of Star Wars stuff and Norman Rockwell paintings.
Yeah, like his own personal collection of stuff. I don't think they really did well. Good, in the article that we read, I don't think they really did a great job of explaining what's the purpose of this, because it's just being sold as, to me, as a George Lucas museum,
Which well, is, that's what it's called, so I think that's what mainly it is.
Is that what
is.
The actual name of the museum is going to be called?
I think so. I think it's going to be his staple, his landmark to have left behind his legacy.
That's stupid, because you're being put in a hub with other great, legendary, to us, Midwesterners, museums. Science and Industry Museum, the Sheds Aquarium.
Natural art, or natural
We know what they history. Are, just from the name of it. The Lucas, it just sounds like a Star Wars exhibit, and I'll...
Well, and that's what mainly it kind of will be, too.
Why Chicago, though? Like, what's the significance for Chicago?
It was partially because there was some political bullshit happening in San Francisco. Because that's where it should be, because he's a that type of area kind of guy.
He's a Californian.
Yeah, so Chicago had a better spot, more open to the idea of a new museum in that area.
I'm much happier with it being...
Yeah,
within a couple hour drive of us, rather than
it's a short train ride over. And his wife's from Chicago.
Okay,
so so there was some things leaning to Chicago versus San Francisco.
I have two other things that are just mention worthy. We talked with Jackson Lansing, Colin Kelly, and Marcus Toe a couple months back about the Hacktivist miniseries that is coming out in hardcover. I believe this week. So. I wanted to kind of just point that one out. If you guys are interested, you can go back in our archives and listen to that interview that we did with them. The other one then, I don't know if you guys saw or not, but Boom Studios teased a Headless Horseman Sleepy Hollow comic book. So, more info on that later, but they did just release the cover teaser. Cool. That's pretty much everything I had for Newstone.
Yeah.
Did you guys have anything else?
No, well, I guess the... Two of them, kind of quick movie things. Fox is rebooting The Predator, which makes me happy because there's going to be more Predators, but I hate the word reboot. Whenever I hear that, I systematically shut down and be like, what the fuck? Why can't you just continue on from...
That's part of a reboot. You gotta shut down and then turn it back on.
Yes, but...
Continue on. The first Alien vs. Predator movie sucked. The second one was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people saw it. But it was a really good B-movie horror, sci-fi horror film, so...
Yeah, so hopefully that picks up some steam. The other one is... the one thing DC does very well versus Marvel is their animated series. Animated movies. Marvel's had, like, a handful of them where DC has come out with killer ones year after year. And their next one is going to be an Aquaman feature... Throne of Atlantis, so I'm going to be enjoying some Aquaman soon when this movie comes out, so can't wait for that. And that's it I have for news.
Cool. All right, on to Indy Turnpike, which, one last bit of news. We kind of mentioned it here last weekend. We should probably mention it again just as a heads up. September 19th through the 21st, you have two choices to come... To come see us, you can either see Matt and Tony in Grand Rapids at Grand Con.
Yo.
Or you can go see Kevin and I in Cincinnati at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. More details coming soon, but pick your poison, buy your tickets now. So, Indy Turnpike.
Driven by Josh Whedon.
Actually, no. This week it's driven by Robert Kirkman.
Oh. Kirkman.
Yeah, so...
Walking Dead?
It's not The Walking Dead.
What? He has another book out?
Yeah, he does.
It's not Battle Pope, is it?
No, it's not Battle Pope. Outcast, number one. Written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by Paul Azaceta. And Elizabeth Breitweiser did colors on this. This is your classic horror comic.
Thick book for $2.99.
It's a chunky monkey. Kevin, I'll pass that over to you to take a peek
at. That's the value.
Yeah, it is. It's the book here deals with the main character that it centers around is this guy named Kyle, but it deals with demonic possession.
But you don't get that at all until towards the last quarter of the book.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like you're wondering. Well, as soon as they brought the Reverend in, though, I'm like, okay, is it actually demonic possession that they're dealing with or whatnot, or is it? But this book, I'm not going to lie, I was a little confused at first when I started reading it. Because, and Tony, you read this, so when you first started reading it, you saw the kid with the mom, and then you see Kyle, you know, as an adult and all that. Were you getting the feeling that it was flashbacks?
Yeah, very much so. I was kind of getting jolted a bit, but when you get towards the end, you kind of then makes you go back and relook at some of those pages to be like, oh, I get that now. So an initial run through, you're thinking something totally different, and then you kind of get the sense of what was going on in the story, and it's actually two different people at the same time in the same town. You kind of can relook at it at a different angle.
Yeah. The one thing, and the thing I liked about this book is that even though it is horror, it's not overly gory. It's not your typical like movie like Saw and Hostel and all that shit, where people, it seems like with horror anymore, people have forgotten how to make things scary and just make things bloody and gross.
Yeah, and I agree. That's why I don't like most horror movies today. I don't usually watch them because that kind of gore just doesn't appeal to
me. It's not scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Sensational.
Yeah. And with Outcast, I mean, there is a little bit of blood in here, but I do mean a little bit. You know, in the one opening scene, you see the kid Joshua, who's eating chips in the cupboard, and did you see that panel,
yeah,
Kevin?
I didn't care for it.
Yeah, it's bothersome when you see the close up, and he's like so hungry, and he's just been like chewing on his own finger,
yeah.
Which that made me think of Nail Biter.
That made me think of that too, as well as I started thinking, wait, is this zombiness something? Like, very confused at the outlook of this book of where is it going.
Yeah.
And I like even at the end of the book where he tries to explain The Walking Dead is straight up fantasy, zombies, you know, doing this. This, he doesn't want to get into a debate of whether religion's true or not. Or
oh, you're talking like the page that he wrote.
Yeah, that he wrote. But that, but what he's trying to say about this comic, he's trying to base it a little more in realism, that some of these accounts for exorcism and demonic possessions are a little more real than saying a zombie apocalypse happening. So he's trying to say that he's going to base this a little bit more in not superheroes flying, but
in reality.
Yeah, not so much of a Constantine type of, you know, thriller, but more of a well, as I said multiple times, a reality-ish type of exorcism
type thing. It's a solid book.
And I really want to know why the fuck he's called the Outcast and what is with him and those demons coming after him. Like, there's that mystery that...
Spoiler.
Keeps people coming back is the mystery, so...
Yeah, it's... the other thing that I did like about this book, I mean, especially going back and reading it a second time, there was a lot of information in here. There's a lot of great characters. And I like the fact that Kirkman said that he is planting seeds for issues way down the road of, like, you know, he's sowing the seeds of love a little bit in here, but not as much love as much as it is scare the fuck out of you shit. So, good book for Indie Turnpike.
Yes, so. And my favorite horror movie, Car Wash Angels.
Mm-hmm. That's horror with a W, right?
That's horror comics done right. Tony, you got Booze in a Book this week. What you got?
Yes, Booze in a Book is a little bittersweet, and it is a sweet beer and sweet book. Larflee's number 12. This is the last issue of the title. It's sad to see it go, but it was a fun ride. And with that, since it's summer, why not go out with a bang with the very flavorful Lightning Kugel's Orange Shandy? Because you got the Orange Lantern,
right.
You got the Orange Shandy. They're both phenomenal, and I think is a pair made.
It was
in...
only around for a limited time.
Perfect. Yeah. Booze in a Book, also brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Go on there and get your own Nintendo flask. Nintendo cartridge flask.
All right, well, let's get into the end of our program. So, anyone got last call?
I got a couple last calls.
Go for it.
New Avengers, number 20. Doctor Strange is a badass, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, that might explain something, because I just heard, like, I saw something on Twitter last night, I think, or today, where somebody was like, Doctor Strange has magic thumbs, and I don't know what that was in reference to, so maybe that was it?
Oh, I don't remember anything in there specifically about magic thumbs, but I'll take a look at it. No, he just, yeah, you'd have to really read the book. I could have reviewed it, but I wanted to, but no, it was a really good, like, oh, Doctor Strange is one of the few characters in here that doesn't really have his own title, and so it's really cool to see him get a moment to shine.
A book that I almost reviewed, and I stopped after this page because it was just so fucking amazing. Amazing Spider-Man number 3, because you come to find out that he is still Otto Octavius, and I just closed the book after that one page. I didn't care about these last pages to tell anything else. I'm just glad that he's still Otto.
Serenity, Firefly Class, and yeah, this is number 6. On here, very cool. Saga, oh man. Saga just
Saga tugs, keeps on just, sagging.
It's just, Saga!
That this book is going to tug at my heartstrings and break my heart here soon. So,
why is it going to break your heart?
Because it's... Well, Tony...
No spoilers.
Tony can tell you when he gets caught up.
Yes. Oh, okay. So it's something about the story.
I still don't understand how you haven't read the whole...
Is it going to go on hiatus or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Iron Man number 28, The Rings of the Mandarin, seem to have...
wrapped up?
Yes, wrapped up, and wonder what's going to happen to them next. Guardians of the Galaxy was fucking amazing. I almost reviewed this one just because the way that Peter Quill pretty much pwned his dad and live TV in front of their entire race, and now they're all calling for his head. And to see all the other Guardians who were captured by different aliens, when they kind of started seeing this is kind of bad PR. Like, he's pretty much making a statement of, they are the Guardians, they are the people who have helped the little people, and when you're opposing us, what does that make you? Pretty much the bad guys. And everyone's like, yeah, maybe we don't really want to be that anymore. So the Supreme Intelligence, like, yep, let's get rid of Rocket, let's do this and that. Except for the Shi'ar, who, there's going to be Drax the Destroyer versus... Yeah. That's my quick review. Loved it, though.
Trees number 2 was
Trees.
I wasn't sure, like, because I really liked number 1, but I wasn't sure if, because that second issue is always the kicker. Are you gonna go on, or are you gonna drop it? But it was good. I'm going on, and I got 2 issues that I want to bring up strictly for the art. Savage Hulk number 1, Alan Davis is actually writing and drawing, and, you know, old school X-Men fan like me, it's nice to see Alan Davis doing what he does best, which is crazy action superhero comics. And then Superman number 32 with the triumphant John Romita Jr. drawn Superman and Klaus Janson on inks backing him up. It's damn impressive. So that's my last one.
Uncanny Avengers number 21. I'm glad that I have stuck with this series. It's pretty good. But damn it, Marvel and time traveling.
2 from Charles Soule. Red Lanterns 32. The Revenge of Articulus. And Letter 44. That's a great new story arc that they're firing up. I'm really pumped.
I actually had it in my hands, and I said, you know what? I'm going to start buying this and trade.
Really? Yeah, well, I don't blame you. You read a lot. And then How I Made the World. This is, I don't know if it's a one-shot or a number one, by Liz Plordy and Randy Michaels. I picked it up for the cover.
It looks like an old
it
journal.
Was, yeah, it, and that's kind of, there's a talks about the look just briefly in the the book, but it's an enjoyable story about a college-age woman, life experiences. It's just an enjoyable read, and there's actually a separate mini-comic in the back that's also enjoyable and reminds me a little bit of my childhood. So how I made the world.
Yeah,
that was a good one to check out.
Suggested for teens and up. This is and as far as I can tell, self published.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't see a.
I just went on their website real quick, and yeah, it looks like it's homegrown.
That's very cool. Very cool. So, actually, I saw a little bit of this previously through the magic of the interwebs. And
because it says a Zurich Award winner, I don't know exactly what that means. I just figured that it's a reprint. But I was new this week, so I'm like, I'll pick it up. And...
Cool. All right. Anybody got anything else?
I read a bunch more, but nothing that needs to be mentioned right now.
I had some other ones, but those were my tops. So.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna be done with this. Go buy my Humble Bundle and. So,
all right, well, stop, collaborate, and listen.
And we'll be back with you next week with a brand new
edition.
It's okay, Derek's going to watch Car Wash Angels.
One hand clapping. I'm a luck man up in flames. Down to down, I'm the one to blame. I think it's time for things to change. Don't deserve another chance, so leave it in your hands. Is this what you had planned? If you want me to go, I'll go anywhere. If you want me to stay, I'll stay right here. If you want me to be, I can be everything you need. Told myself to remember you, but I guess I